few years ago, we saw the housing market come crashing down. The effects crippled some banks as they reeled from homeowners who found themselves upside down in their loans and simply abandoning their property to the banks to deal with. Of course, the banks didn't help themselves, as many were handing out bad loans at the height of the housing boom, all for the gain of profit. Well, on this edition of our Sunday Sermon broadcast, we'll hear Dr. J. Vernon McGee draw from the wisdom of the book of Proverbs advice that would have benefited many who are now suffering in this housing downturn. Dr. McGee was the pastor of the historic Church of the Open Door in downtown Los Angeles when he first gave this sermon. He served there, by the way, for 21 years. Now, this is one of Dr. McGee's shorter sermons, so I have some time to share with you some of the many letters that we're getting in response to the Daily Through the Bible program. This first letter comes to us from Jetta, who listens to our Albanian broadcast. I'm a Christian and a mother of two daughters. My daughters are grown up now, and the first one has just begun her first job. I'm so blessed by your TTB program. The words of this study bless my heart, and I am so glad we could listen to this program. It has been the first one for me that I have heard when I first began to listen to the radio. I am so glad that my daughters have grown with the Lord through this program. The Bible is so important for our family, and we want to get rooted in the Word of God. Your program is a great help, not only for my family, but I think for the whole nation. This next letter, also from an Albanian listener. I am an old believer, and I enjoy listening to your TTB program. I'm so blessed by your program. I've shared this program also with other women in my church. Some of the women are too old, and they cannot read the Bible, so the radio programs are a great opportunity for them. As a church, we're working with some women in a village, and we want to plant a church there. The radio programs are a great help for the new believers in this village. Thank you for what you do through your radio programs. And now, here's a letter from a listener of our Amharic broadcast. This is my short testimony, which I would like to share with you. I was born in an Orthodox Christian family who are too conservative for their religion. I am born again. I received my Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior while I was in high school by the witness of a Christian friend. Although there was protesting of my decision, my parents didn't take any action over me. I tried many times telling them that I am a follower of the same Jesus Christ who was born from Mary 2,000 years ago that they worship. Listening to TTB radio programs helped me to equip myself with biblical knowledge and helped me to face my relatives' challenges to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. It took a long process, a long time, and many challenges to convince my family about the benefit that I got from listening to TTB radio programs. I told them several times that TTB Radio is the best radio program among any and teaches the whole Bible with the simplest way and is understandable. One day I welcomed one of my brothers after he came to my room and asked my permission to join me to listen to the radio program. After a few minutes, I just watched astonishment from his facial expression, and since that day, he became a regular listener. Gradually, one by one, the rest of my family members started following the program. The one thing which I love from my parents is that they don't force anyone to follow their faith, or they don't argue over any religion, even though they are too conservative. That's why I freely enjoy listening to any Christian radio program at my room. Please pray for my family. Even if they are listening to Christian radio programs, they are still following their religious ritual. God bless you. Well, continuing our theme of international letters, and we have so many, we want to read one from West Bengal. My family and I are regular listeners of the Bengali Through the Bible program, and we are settled in a remote village in West Bengal where there is no church or anyone believing in Jesus. It was through an evangelist that my family came to know about Jesus Christ, and later we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior and had the courage to publicly testify. As for the other people around us, they all belonged to different faiths. However, this was not enough, and we hungered for spiritual nurturing, and because we are new in Christ, we did not know much about the Bible and the Word of God. Sadly, the evangelist could not spare enough time, so we were left unattended. We prayed that God would open a door. At this crucial hour, we were introduced to the Through the Bible program, and we shouted with joy because finally the Lord had answered our prayer. The radio has become our pastor, and through the program we are able to learn the Bible in a systematic way. The wonderful teaching of God's Word encourages us and strengthens our faith regularly. As a family, we're very grateful to this program because it enables us to grow in the Lord, and each day we're discovering His blessings. Well, along with this letter came to us some prayer points that we'd like you to think about as you pray for this ministry and those who are hearing our Bengali broadcast. Our production team wrote, "First, continue to pray for the political situation in West Bengal. Last month, the town election was conducted, due to which more than 50 people were killed. In North Bengal, a particular people group was demanding a separate land in an attempt to divide West Bengal. Second, listeners are mostly villagers from different districts in West Bengal. Nowadays, the postal department doesn't deliver properly, and most of the time, they did not deliver the letters to the listeners. Please continue to pray so that we're able to always have good contact with our listeners. And third, please continue to pray for the good health of Reverend Saras, who is the producer of this program, and also please pray for his family. And also please pray for our audience relation team members and for their families." And then finally, we've got this letter. This is from someone who hears our German broadcast, and she says, "Today I want to express my joy over Through the Bible, which I hear every day at 10 a.m. and in the evening. I am 84 years old, and I can't read the whole Bible for long, but TTB is so different and good to listen to. This beautiful, interesting explanations, this reference to the New Testament, including the daily life of a Christian. So I am always waiting for the next episode, curious how it goes on. Also, the transmission 2 times a day is adjusted to the daily life as well. I would still like to experience the book of Revelation because it is supposed to go for 5 years. Wonderful. I can't listen to the radio all day, but this is my favorite show that I should never miss. I thank the ERF for this wonderful and good spiritual food every day at any time. God bless you all and through all the listeners and viewers." Well, our hope is that you've been blessed, as these listeners have been, and that you'd continue to consider them in your prayers, as many of them are facing very difficult challenges for being a Christian in their country. Pray that God will give them opportunities to share the gospel with their friends, neighbors, and family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would fill us with the great wisdom provided to us in your word. We ask that your Spirit would teach us the things of Christ. We also pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, whose only means of studying the Bible is this program. May you use it to grow them in their faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our subject this evening is endorsing a bad note. And I suppose that that's the experience of a great many folk, that you somewhere in your life was asked to sign a note for someone, and you ended up by having to pay the note. I went to work as a very young man, about 16 years of age, in a bank. And when I was 18, I was at a paying and receiving window. And a friend of mine, we were taking in for a broker, receiving his deposits, and we were watching the stock market where he invested his money. So he and I decided that we would put in $100. Each one put in $50. The thing of it is, this fella asked me if I would sign the note so he could get the $50, and I did. We did not make anything. I don't know what happened to the stock market, but we lost everything, and the whole $100, and I had to pay that $50. Therefore, our text tonight has a very personal meaning for me. Will you notice Proverbs 11:15, for we have a text tonight. "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it." Doesn't mean he'll be smart. It means that he'll really suffer for it. "And he that hateth suretyship is sure." If you don't go on a note, you won't ever have to pay one. You can be sure of that. And so this proverb is a good proverb for business, if you please. A very prominent jeweler in Dallas, Texas, years ago, by the name of Mr. Arthur A. Everetts. And anyone that is familiar with Dallas is familiar with the Everetts Jewelry Company. It was one of the, I suppose, largest establishments of this kind in that section of the country. He was a very fine Christian layman. I knew him for many years. In fact, he helped me get my wife's wedding ring and engagement ring, and he was very kind and considerate in those days of depression to let you pay for it on time. And in a few more payments, we're going to have it paid for, by the way. But he was a very gracious layman. And one of the ministries, for he had many unique ministries, was to have printed the book of Proverbs. He had the American Bible Society print him up a special edition of the book of Proverbs. He had a gold cover. That is very appropriate, I thought, for a jeweler. But he put a gold cover around the book of Proverbs, made it very attractive, had it published by the thousands, and he made a point to give it out to young men. He would arrange all over the Southwest to go to YMCAs, and that was in the day when you could get into the YMCA with a spiritual message, and he would go in and talk to the men and then present to each fella a copy of the book of Proverbs. He had in it the plan of salvation at the end. He had at the beginning of it certain proverbs that they were to use. And as a result, many men, in fact, a businessman in Dallas, Texas, told me this past fall, he said, "You know, I read the book of Proverbs once every month. When I was a young man and came to this section, Mr. Everett put into my hand a copy of the book of Proverbs and suggested that I read it every month. He said every young man ought to read the book of Proverbs every month. He made it a practice in his business to do that. And this man says, I have done it, and I have never done anything that has been as profitable to my life, especially when you see the great spiritual messages that are in this book. Now, it is a book that I think is in particular for young men. It's a good book for young men to read because it will give to him advice in three important fields. First, where he's to go to school. Second, how to be successful in business. And third, who is to marry. And you can't get, may I say, better advice than in these three different fields. Where to go to school, how to be successful in business, and who you are to marry. Well, may I say to you that this is a book that's invaluable for young men, and I'm sure it would be invaluable to any of us. It was written, as we have seen, by Solomon. And Solomon is the voice of experience. When we get to the next book, the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to see that this man probably tasted every pleasure and everything that this life has to offer. I do not believe that Solomon missed anything. And I do not believe that anyone today is having an experience that this man Solomon did not have. And so when he writes, either in this book or in the book of Ecclesiastes, he is the voice of experience. And every proverb is a little nugget of gold. It's invaluable. It's a truth that is couched in short, pithy language. And someone has said that proverbs are short sentences drawn from long experience, that they are sententious sentences, if you please. We have one, "Great oaks from little acorns grow." That's a proverb. Or you can turn it around, "Great aches from little toe corns grow." It's good either way that you want to have it. And since I've been giving out proverbs like this, I've been getting in the mail the most unusual assortment of proverbs you've ever seen. Somebody just put this in an envelope, and that's all I've gotten. It says, "Samson ended a war with a jawbone of an ass," and that's the way we start them. There are many proverbs. I do not, by the way, feel that this one that I've just given you is an inspired proverb, by the way, although it's from the Bible. There are proverbs, we believe, for every individual. Every individual you know, there's one for you. There's a proverb for every situation in life. I wonder if you just notice the thing that we're talking about, and it may help some of you that are reading. I turn over to Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Do you know anybody that fits? Well, Solomon had a son by the name of Rehoboam that he asked the old man, the wise men of the kingdom, for advice, but he didn't follow it. He followed his own. He's an illustration of this proverb here. Then we have today, I think, a very good proverb for the present hour, a day when there is so much of covetousness, when every man seems to be after the dollar today, and there seems to be the measure of a man is the dollar mark. In fact, ethics today is based on not how you get it, but whether you get it or not. That seems to be the ethics of the hour in which we live. And it's well to note Proverbs 23:5. It fits the present hour. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Has that been your experience? How many folk have put away savings? A man told me that 20 years ago, I put away savings for my old age. And he says, no robber broke into the bank and stole that. It's still there. But he says, actually, 60% of it's gone. Took itself wings, the wings of inflation, and it flew right away. It's gone. It disappeared. He said, I put it where I thought it would be safe. It was not safe at all. And then, if you just turn over the next page where we are here to Proverbs 9:8, here is one that fits a certain individual that I really felt sorry for. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. That's the reporter. You remember that music critic that wrote up the concert of Margaret Truman when she was Margaret Truman. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. And that poor reporter really had to take a beating, didn't he? May I say that they're proverbs that fit every individual and every situation in life. Now, the proverb that's before us tonight contains a great truth. It's a proverb that might profitably be put in the lobby of every bank in the country. Maybe the Bank of America would like to put this in their lobby. It would be a good one. But may I say that the advice it's giving to men is this: do not go on the note of another, especially a stranger, man you don't know very well. You will have to smart for it. You will have to pay. You'll have to suffer for it. How many men today that could tell a story, not just of $50 that I lost as a boy, which didn't amount to too much, it did then, but certainly I think I've recovered from that. But how many men today have actually lost fortune because they went on the note of another? They did the thing that this proverb warns us against, of going on a note, of being surety for someone else, especially somebody we do not know too well. Now, the book of Proverbs does not contain commandments. This is not a commandment. God doesn't say that it's wrong if you do that. He doesn't say that this is something that he forbids at all, because you will find that there's some good things that God does not command. You will find out there's some bad things that God does not forbid. You will find in his word that there are many phases and areas of life that he does not cover at all. Now, the very thing that God here is warning us of and telling men not to do, may I say to you tonight, and I say it reverently, he himself has done it. He did this. He was surety for a stranger, and he smarted for it. He went on the note of somebody else, and he had to pay it, and he paid it all. Listen to Paul. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might become rich. He went on your note. And it's when we were strangers, if you please, when we were away from God, when we were enemies of God, it was then that he went on our note. He signed it, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we might be rich. And as the scripture says, he restored what he took not away. He went on our note when we couldn't pay, when we owed God everything, We had sinned against heaven, and we owed him righteousness, and we had nothing to pay. The Lord Jesus Christ came forward. He did something that's bad business. Any businessman will tell you it's bad business to imagine to go on a stranger's note. And when we were strangers and foreigners, dead in trespasses and sin, enemies and alienated from God, it was at that time that he signed with his own precious blood a note for you and me. He'd pay. Will you listen to the proverb? He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. He could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have to come to this earth and pay the price. Wasn't his debt. Even when he was here, he said, who convicteth me of sin? No one could convict him of sin. He says, the prince of this world cometh, he findeth nothing in me. He says, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. I do this voluntarily. And he came down and gladly signed the note and paid the price, went to the cross. He went on our note, and I want to tell you it was a bad note. We couldn't pay. He did pay. He had to smart for it. He endured the cross, despising the shame. My beloved, I do not believe that God would ever have permitted sin to enter his universe until the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth and die for the sins of the world. I see in Scripture, back yonder in the endless ages of eternity past, before anything that is created, I see God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in conference. And they want a creature they can love, and that creature in turn can love them, and he must be a creature that has a free moral agency. But that involves a creature that will go in rebellion against God. And if it doesn't involve that, then that creature does not have free moral agency. And it's this plan that's being worked out today that they decided upon. Way back yonder. And in that plan and program, they said, this creature that we create will sin. What shall we do? And the Son says, in the plan, I'll go forward. And I will sign the note. I'll pay the penalty. I'll make it possible for that creature to come back to me and be brought back into a right relationship. I'll pay it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. We owe it all to him. That was a song, a new song we sang tonight. I do not know, Mr. Hewlin, whether you knew what we were going to talk about or not, but that's it. We owe all to Jesus because he paid it all for you and me. He went on our note. And when sin entered the human family, and as sinners we owed the penalty of sin, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And we were debtors to do the whole law and to measure up to God's standard. And then he was made sin for us. It's interesting here in the 53rd Psalm, the Psalm that speaks of his death upon the cross, in the 7th verse, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And the translation that has been given by some is, it was exacted, and he became answerable. It was exacted, and he became answerable. There are two illustrations in the Bible that set before us this great truth tonight of the suretyship of our Savior, of the fact that he was a redeemer and came in and paid a price for your salvation and my salvation. One's in the Old Testament, and the other's in the New Testament. Right now, we are talking on the television program about the one in the Old Testament, the little book of Ruth. It tells the story out in love. You do not have the clink of silver on the barrel head. That's not the redemption that's wrought out there. That's not the payment. It's not like that. It's a love story. We're going to see as we go along that this foreign girl, excluded, outsider, that though she has a lovely life and she's a lovely person, Yet the law said to her, you cannot enter. A Moabite or an Ammonite cannot enter the congregation of the Lord. She shut out. The law shut her out. But you see, somebody loved her. We're going to find out that there was a man that the minute he saw her, he fell in love with her. And he loved her so much that he's willing to jeopardize everything that he possesses. In fact, his life for her. And he became, as the little book is going to tell us, a kinsman redeemer. The only example of a kinsman redeemer that's in the Bible. For you see, the Mosaic law had a very peculiar law. Something we don't have today. And may I say that it reveals that our law today is really not as high as the Levitical law or the Mosaic law. For the very simple reason, law today has no heart in it whatsoever, or mercy. But there was in God's law. And the law of the kinsman redeemer is one example. If a man, through unfortunate and untoward circumstances, he lost all of his possessions, lost his property, he's had to mortgage his place, and then the mortgage was foreclosed, and he was put off the place. And then his family didn't even have enough to eat, and he had to go and sell himself into slavery. Now this poor fella, he's in a pitiful condition, and may I say to you, in that day, it was sad and tragic indeed. Never could he rise from that place unless he had a kinsman redeemer. And the Mosaic law said that if there was a brother who was a wealthy man, or an uncle, or even a cousin, or somebody distantly related that loved him, interested in him, that was willing to pay, he could come over, and though this man's in slavery, he could write out the check and the man would go free. He could pay off the mortgage on the place and the man would go free. And his place would be restored to him. May I say, it'd be a wonderful thing to have a kinsman redeemer like that. And when this little widow came back from the land of Moab, shut out, if you please, and her former husband, her first husband, the man that's dead, he, if you please, had an estate, but he's lost. And this little girl's in danger herself of having to go into slavery. But somebody saw her, and somebody loved her. And he went and paid the price to redeem the property. He paid the price in order that he might redeem her and make her his wife. And I tell you, it cost Boaz something. Don't you forget it. It cost him something in that day to pay that kind of a price. It cost him something among his people in Bethlehem in order to redeem this little girl, in order to get her estate back. But he's willing to do it because he loved her. For I tell you, to endorse Ruth was to endorse a bad note. The law shut her out. She had nothing. But he paid. He's willing to pay because he loved her. You and I have a kinsman redeemer. And because he loves us, he signed our note. He paid the price of our redemption. He endorsed a bad note. May I say, he seems to rejoice in it. He knew what he was doing. He said, when I signed it and paid the price, I knew what I was doing. I did it for you. I paid the price of your redemption. There is a story in the New Testament that illustrates the same truth. It's the story of a runaway slave. This runaway slave was named Onesimus, which means unprofitable. That's the name of all of us tonight. Unprofitable. We belong to his family. Unprofitable to God. Unprofitable servant. And so, Onesimus was a slave of a man by the name of Philemon who lived in the city of Colossae. And one day he made a break for it. He saw an opportunity to run away. At this particular time in the Roman Empire of 120 millions of people, 60 million people were slaves. And Rome and the great cities became a place where these runaway slaves would come and bury themselves and absolutely be so covered up they'd never be discovered again. If they were, it was an awful thing. If they were ever apprehended. Many of them were put to death by all sorts of tortures. In fact, the tortures that were given to Christians later on came from the tortures that were given to runaway slaves. It wasn't a wise thing to run away unless you were sure you'd make a break and you'd get away with it. They were sometimes tarred. The tar was put around them, and they were put up and made into a torch. Christians were treated that way later on in the persecutions that began with Nero. And these slaves, they were afraid to leave, many of them. But this man Onesimus saw an opportunity, and he made a break, and he went to Rome. He knew he could bury himself there, and he got to Rome, and he said, "For the first time, I'm a free man. I can do as I please." But you know, it's interesting. There is a freedom in slavery, and there is a slavery in freedom. He found out that when he got loose from his master, and he had no one to feed him, that he had to feed himself. He found out when his master no longer clothed him, he had to clothe himself. He found out that he had to make his own way now. He couldn't depend on anyone else. And he found out that when you begin to touch the things of sin, they made you a slave. And he met men that were slaves to liquor. He met men that were slaves to sex. He met men that were slaves to all sorts of vicious appetites. And he found out in Rome that everybody was not free that was not a slave. One day, going down the street, this man, who though felt very snug and smug, he's away from his master, he'll never have to return. He sees a little crowd gathered on the sidewalk, and he doesn't want to miss anything. His time's his own. He's his own boss. He doesn't want to miss a show if that's what's going on. And so he goes to the crowd, and he elbows his way in. He gets up to the front row. And there's a strange sight. There's a little Jew there, crippled fella. And he is chained to a big Roman soldier. And that little Jew's preaching. He's telling about a freedom that Christ offers. And as Onesimus listened, he found out something that a great many men today need to find out. That though he didn't have any chains on him outwardly, he was still a slave. And that little fella there that's talking about, if Christ makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. He found out, though he's bound with chains, that fella was free. That fella was free as the bird. And that he had a liberty that he did not have. And when the crowd broke up after the message, Onesimus stuck around. He went over and talked to this man. And Paul the Apostle led him to a saving knowledge of Christ. And Onesimus says, "I've got an ugly life, and I must tell you, Brother Paul, about my life. I'm a slave. I'm not a free man. My master lives way over yonder at the other end of the Roman Empire in Colossae." Paul says, "I know a lot of people in Colossae. What's the name of your master?" He says, "Philemon." "Philemon? Philemon that lives on Hope Street?" He says, "Yes, that's the Philemon." Paul says, "You know, I led him to the Lord. I led him to the Lord. And you know, he owes me everything." "Onesimus, I'm going to send you back to your master." And Onesimus took the little letter of Philemon and went back. That's the most wonderful thing Paul ever wrote, was that little letter of Philemon. Just a few little verses. Just a little pencil note, if you please. Oh, but what it reveals. Paul says to Philemon, "I'm Paul the aged, and I'm writing to you about my son in the faith. You're my son also. I want to tell you about another son. His name is Onesimus. He's unprofitable, but he now will be profitable. I'm sending him back." If you'll read between the lines, Paul is saying to this man, "This fella has been trained to help a man personally. Apparently he was sort of a butler. And he could be a great help to me. And I would have kept him here in Rome. But without, he belonged to you. Without your mind, he says, I'd do nothing. You know what I think happened? We don't have the second chapter, but I think Onesimus came back on the next boat to Rome to be with Paul. I think he was with him to his last days. Paul says, I wouldn't do anything without you. But now he says, look, I'm sending him back, and I'm not sending him back a slave. He's no longer a slave. He's a brother, beloved. He's now redeemed, regenerated, and Christ has paid for his sins. And he's coming back profitable. Now listen, Paul says, if he oweth thee aught, you put that on my account, I will pay. I do not know what Philemon would have done. He was a Christian to a runaway slave that returned. I don't think he would have treated him as other men would have. But he had a right in that day. According to Roman law, he could have beat him to death. He could have killed him. And the least thing that would ever have happened to a slave would have CF branded on them, Cave Furum, where the thief. And he's known as that in the Roman Empire. Goes through life branded. Paul says, when this runaway slave comes back to you, I don't want you to receive him anymore as a runaway slave. I want you to receive him just as you'd receive Paul the Apostle. If he owes thee anything, put that on my account and listen, and receive him as you receive me. You remember Philemon, when you came down to Ephesus, a pagan, and you came into the school of Tyrannus, and you heard the gospel, and you came to Christ, transform your life, and one of the things you said to me was, I'm a very wealthy man in Colossae, and Paul the Apostle, anything I got's yours. And any time you're up our way, I hope you'll come. I've got a guest room. I'd love for you to come and stay with me. And I'd love to treat you. I'd treat you royally. Paul says, Philemon, I won't be able to come. I'm in prison here. I'm in the Mamertine prison. I won't be able to come, but I'm sending Onesimus, and I want you to receive him just like you received me. And if he owes you anything, put it on my account. I'll pay. I'll pay it, Paul says. Don't charge it to Onesimus. You want to beat him? Don't beat him, beat me. Wait till I get there if I ever come. May I say that's the most glorious picture we have in the Scripture, for it throws back the curtains of heaven and lets you look in at the Son of God tonight, and what he's saying is this. Do you see that sinner down here in Los Angeles? He's saying to the Father, you put his sins on my account. I paid. I paid. Put them on my account. I died for him 1,900 years ago. I paid the penalty. Put them on my account. And that's not all. He says, I want you to receive him just like you receive me, the Son of God. Listen, my friend. You have as much right in heaven tonight as the Son of God has, and I say this reverently, or you have no right there at all. You're either in Christ, and if you're in Christ, you're accepted in the beloved. You can't add to that. You can't add to that. And if you're not in him, you have nothing there. You can't pay. But he did pay. And he says tonight, if you'll come to me, it's all on my account. I paid it. And he says, you'll be received just like I'm received in Christ. Solomon said, if you're surety for a stranger, you're smart for it. He sure did, didn't he? He had to pay. He had to pay an awful price in order to go on your note. In order to pay the price of your redemption, in order to give you a standing up there. Shall we pray? with our heads bowed tonight, very briefly, I'm wondering if you're here tonight and you've ever accepted this. I can't imagine Onesimus turning such a wonderful offer down, and he didn't. He took this letter right back to Philemon. And you have tonight the Word of God that will take you into the very presence of God in Christ by accepting and receiving Him as Savior. He paid it all for you. I wonder, with our heads bowed tonight, if you're here and you would accept this offer. You're a businessman. Don't you know a good business proposition when you see it? You know any better one than this one today? Do you know anybody in Los Angeles that'll pay all of it for you? Do you know anybody in Los Angeles that'll give you a standing in heaven? I don't think they're here. But He will. What an offer He makes to you tonight. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. He takes you just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Well, we're all in bad standing. We've all written a bad note. The Bible calls it sin. And unless it's paid for, it will drag us to the depths of hell. But the glorious news is that Jesus has paid the price. He paid for my sins and yours when He was crucified on the cross. And that salvation is offered to all who will accept it. The question is always the same. Will today be the day that you're freed from your bad note? If you want some additional information on how God works out salvation through Jesus Christ, we'd sure like to send you our salvation packet. It includes Dr. McGee's wonderful little booklet, Faith Plus Nothing Equals Salvation. That's some really good math. This and some other material will help you with the basic understanding of what it means to be freed from your sin. So if you want to get this offer, give us a call. You can do it anytime. Just leave a voicemail request with your name, address, and the call letters of this station. Now, Letter Month is now in full swing here at Through the Bible, and many of you have sent us some great letters, but we know that there are still some of you who haven't yet written to us. Well, now's a great time to do it. What's the old saying? There's no time like the present. Well, that's certainly true of our desire to hear from you. So why don't you take a moment right now and send us your thoughts. Now, on Monday, we'll continue Dr. McGee's study in the book of Proverbs. It's really a wealth of wisdom, and it can be found there, and it's available for the taking if you'll just make the effort to get at it. And notes and outlines are available when you ask for them, or you can download them from our website for free in the PDF format. Now, as a wrap-up of our time together, I'd like to remind you that we're always in need of your prayers. Our mission of taking the whole Word to the whole world hasn't yet been completed, and so we press forward looking for new opportunities in new languages and then new ways to get out the program that we might saturate the nations with the truth of God's Word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. To help us do that, we need you to partner with us on our World Prayer Team. You can do so by clicking on the link in the right-hand corner of our website. And when you do sign up, you'll get daily prayer requests sent to you automatically. We really do need help in this area, as we gather together people from every nation to pray for the world, all for the sake of God's kingdom and His glory. If you want to contact our offices for the Salvation Packet, ask for those notes, or just express your interest in the ministry, call 1-800-65-BIBLE, Monday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time, or write to Through the Bible Radio in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1, or find us online at ttb.org. Until this same time next week, we pray that God will fill you with His grace, mercy, and peace.
To Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.